This is a Crestview Bible podcast. For more information, visit crestviewhutch.org.
Does everybody know what a laser pointer is? So they usually show up like at youth events where it's like a toy that a parent would give a child for Christmas and they're like pointing it at the speaker or something. Or you might know that as something that like you can entertain animals with. You know, you point that on the floor and then the cat tries to cover it up only to realize that now the dot is on the back of the paw and then they try to stop it and it never stops and it ends up being a YouTube or a TikTok phenomenon. So throughout history, we've had all these kinds of things. The idea behind a laser pointer is you point it at something you want to direct attention to, right? And we've always needed stuff like that in our worlds to keep us focused on the things that matter, to keep us focused on things that need attention. Way back in the day, it used to be newspaper kids that sold newspapers on the corners of street corners. They would hold up the headline and say, "Read all about it. Get your news today." And it was a way of directing attention. This is what's happening in the world today. Or back in the day, we used to like watch, there would be songs and you would follow the bouncing ball. So if you saw the movie version of Grease, there's something in there about that. Yep. So we needed that. Even now, in our social media saturated days, there are actually experts who can tell us how to get even more attention through what we're posting on social media, as if we needed that. And all of this gets at this notion of attention. And around the time Jesus was born, God put a star in the sky to point to where his son would be born. To point, to direct attention to that. Think of the star as God's laser pointer from heaven that we weren't to miss. He's pointing and saying, "Don't miss this. This is really huge. This is significant." There was a sign to the shepherds that were out in the field. You know, there was a sign. They were going to go to town and find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, which that wasn't very abnormal. But they would find this baby lying in a manger, which would be very unique. None of us would do that. So all these signs, it's another sign. Don't miss this. But the sign for the wise men in Matthew chapter 2 was a star. So if you're there and can follow along in the scripture verses, Matthew 2 verses 1 through 12, here's what we read there. "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who's been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.' And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way." This is God's word. Thanks be to God. So as you can see in this short story, there's some different responses to the news that a king is born, and there's even different responses to the star itself. But the right response, or the right responses we get from those wise men, and they help direct our attention to how we can respond to the news and what we have seen about Jesus. And so just two responses, and that's the title of the message, right? Two responses, recognizing the pointers to Jesus' birth. And the first response, when we recognize the pointer to Jesus' birth, is we come to him. We come to him. We see that in verses 1 through 8. We're told that Matthew 2 happened after Jesus' birth. So I know you technical, biblical people, you don't like having wise men at the manger scene. So it's no big deal. It's okay. The wise men loom large in Jesus' birth story. They just weren't there the actual moment he was born. I like to think of the wise men as the family that comes in later after a child has been born. So they're like the distant relatives that live a far way off. And like when my wife gave birth to our children, you get the idea. You know what I'm caught in. We would have the baby, and then like a week later, I might have distant family come. Now that they got word, they were going to come and see the family. And a lot of your grandparents in the same boat, right? You've maybe came from long distances once the baby was born, if you couldn't be there the day of. And that's kind of how the wise men are. So they learned that they're following this star, and in the days of Herod the king, wise men came from the east. They were probably from Babylon, and they're asking, where is he who's been born king of the Jews? So we need some background on Herod the king. He's really the main character of chapter 2, and he lived from 73 to 4 BC. So 73 to 4 BC. Maybe one of the most self-centered leaders ever. Any rival to his throne would have been dealt with swiftly. One time, history tells us that he had an argument in a cabinet meeting, and because people disagreed with him, he just executed the cabinet. I mean, this is kind of the bloodthirsty mongrel that this guy was. Just crazy. And so you can imagine the craziness in Jerusalem when pious Gentiles show up asking, where's the one who's been born king, right? The wise men didn't come and say, hey, we heard that there's a guy that's going to be king someday. They didn't say that. They said, where's the one who is born king? Where's the boss? Where's the one pulling all this together that has just been born? We just heard he was born. They continue to tell us what's happened. We've seen his star when it rose, and we've come to worship him. And so we're told this saying troubled Herod and all Jerusalem with him. And the reason it probably troubled all Jerusalem is because all Jerusalem probably knew Herod's not going to be happy this week, and it's not going to be happy for them. So Herod assembles the best scholars, chief priests and scribes. This would have been like getting together the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He's got two work groups that are formed, and hey, go research and tell me about this king of the Jews, the Christ. Where is he going to be born? And they both came back to him and said, Bethlehem, like Micah 5:2 said. And then they added a quote from 2 Samuel 5:2, who will shepherd my people Israel. So it's in Bethlehem that this ruler, this king, would come. And in Matthew's gospel, he's given this title, King of the Jews. Remember when that's going to show up again. So here at the beginning of Matthew's gospel, we have Jesus referred to by Gentiles as the King of the Jews. And then later on in Matthew's gospel, there's going to be a sign that's stapled above where Jesus is crucified. And what's that sign going to say? The King of the Jews. So these wise men have come to Herod. And with an answer, Herod sends the wise men to Jesus. Right in verse 7. He summoned the wise men secretly and figured out from them when the star had appeared, and he sent them to Jerusalem. He tries to find out more about the star, and he tries to convince these wise men that he wants to worship Jesus as well. He tells them, go and search for the child, and once you find him, let me know so I can join you. It's interesting that all that Herod knows about Christ, all that Herod knows about Jesus at this point, isn't compelling enough for him to actually go. He just sends the wise men. And that's how some of us may be today in this room. We know something about this Jesus, right? We may know of him. We may even recognize some of the things that point to him. But we're not coming to him. We're content to let children voice these things and just say, oh, that's great news. Yeah, oh, that's right. Man, people ought to live for that. But it's not enough for us. We're not drawing near to him. He's not compelling enough to us to drop all the important stuff, the seemingly important stuff of our lives to draw near to him. But Jesus invites us. He invites us to come. He invites us to draw near to him. In his ministry, Jesus would say, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. And that's like most every adult I talk to is weary and heavy laden. They're needing rest. And there's a lot of stuff on their hearts and minds. And that's what Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'll give you satisfaction. So do we find him compelling enough to come today? I mean, that's the first aspect of this, right? Herod does it. Herod says, yep, I bet you all that's true. Why don't you guys go and figure it out for me? And it might be that there's somebody in the room today that's just like that, oh man, this is really cool. Yeah, what those kids talked about, that's good stuff. They ought to be in church when they're little. But is it compelling enough for you to come, to draw near to him this holiday season, to just press into him and seek him? Seeing the sign, seeing the pointer from heaven, are you going to give attention to it and come? So that's the first pointer, that we come to him. Secondly, that final response is that we worship him. We worship him. So in verse 9, after these wise men hear from Herod, they're dispatched, they go to Bethlehem. This is really kind of where the action of the passage picks up. The wise men get who Jesus is. They see the pointer that's drawing them near. They can't stay away. They have to go figure this out now. And after listening to the king, King Herod, they go on their way. And look, there's the star again. The star they had seen before when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. God's continuing to point them to Jesus. As they keep seeking him, he's continuing to point them to this Jesus. And when these wise men saw the star, we're told, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. That was verse 10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. So do you think, we get the impression this was an exciting moment for them, right? They're not trying to tamper this down. They're not trying to say, yeah, it's really thrilling. My heart is overjoyed. No, they are thrilled. They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. I mean, I think this is the scripture's way of saying this was the greatest thing ever. They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. That should have been the response of Jerusalem, right? That should have been all the people who should have known best, all the people that were experts in knowing what God's word said. They are the ones that should have been rejoicing with exceedingly great joy that God has fulfilled his promise and he has come. But they're not. It's wise men. It's these pious Gentiles who have been seeking the Lord. They're the ones who are drawing near. And their hearts are thrilled and leaping because of this. Understanding who Jesus is and realizing that the pointer was meant for them to find him, they're overjoyed. They're thrilled. And is that your heart? Are you thrilled with Jesus? Is he the compelling storyline of your life? Is he the one that thrills you? Are you rejoicing with exceeding great joy in him? Many of us are excited about a lot of other stuff. But this is the thing of most importance, the thing of first importance. Jesus said, what's the greatest thing I can do? And he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. This is the greatest, to seek him and love him with all your heart. Rejoicing exceedingly with great joy was part of their worship. And then another aspect was offering these gifts, right? These famous gifts. They had open hands with material possessions. They went into the house. So that's how we know they weren't there at the nativity scene, right? They go into the house. They're no longer in a cave where the shepherds would have come. They enter the house and they see Mary, the mother, with the child, and they fell down and worshiped him. And they opened up their treasures, offering him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. By the way, the scriptures don't tell us there were three wise men. We get it because there were three gifts. That's where a lot of scholars think, oh, it was these three that they gave gold, frankincense, and myrrh, therefore one gift for each of these wise men. So commentators love to come up with all kinds of ideas about what's going on here. I think God's just dropping all these lavish gifts in the lap of this family because in like another verse they're going to have to travel to Egypt because Herod's going to be killing all the children in Bethlehem. But we'll talk about that more next week. I think he's just giving him, with gold and frankincense and myrrh, they have stuff they can sell to have money for this journey to Egypt that they have to take. God's providing in the moment. It's an incredible thing. Regardless of the reason, what we can agree on is that offering gifts was this expression of worship. Not only was it coming and bowing down, drawing near to him and just rejoicing with exceeding great joy, but they're offering him gifts. It's an expression of worship. And so they offer these gifts, and God warns them in a dream not to return to Herod, and they go to the country. They go back to their own country a different way. But the pointer from heaven, the star was pointing them to Jesus, and there was two responses, right? To come and worship. So we've been so well served this morning by children helping us see Jesus. These children have functioned much like the star did for those wise men. These children have shown us all in this room, it's him. He's the one. They've kind of been heaven's voice to point us to Jesus. And the fitting responses are to come and worship, to draw near to him and worship. So, will you draw near to him? Will you turn from maybe going your own way of life, doing life your own way, and rest in His? Will you trust Him? Trust the life that He offers? Trust that that will sustain you? So, I mean, one encouragement, I just want you to believe this good news from Jesus, from God, that Jesus has come and He became human, like those angel girls were talking, you know, He became human. He took all the yuckiness of our lives. He walked in our path. He walked in our steps. And He did all this to save us. And then He died and rose again. They celebrated all that too and what they were singing. So will you believe in that news? Will you trust it? And this is the response for all of us, to come and worship, to give Christ the glory that's due Him, especially during this Advent season. We like to, you know, talk like, you know, it's Christmas with a capital C or something, you know. This is all about Christ. And is it really? You know, might it be? If we get dialed in with the pointers, it's to come and worship, to draw near to Him and worship. So I hope that's what you want to pursue. Let's come and worship that we may glorify and enjoy Him forever. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for this morning and all that we've been able to see and hear. Like those shepherds at that first Christmas, that first celebration, they were rejoicing and praising God and glorifying Him for all that they had seen and heard. And we have all the reason this morning to rejoice and to glorify You for all that we've seen and heard. We want to have the heart of those wise men to draw near to You, to press into You, to take You at Your word, to see that You keep Your promises, and not stay a far way off thinking that this news is for someone else, but to come near, it's for us. So we want to come, and we want to worship. We want to rejoice with exceedingly great joy. We want to offer gifts, and just want You to be glorified with our lives. What a great thing that we can praise You and give You glory for these things. And so we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.